Good morning. I'm glad to be here. For you people that old timers, you probably remember the Canadiana and the Americana. We lived in Buffalo, so I'd come over here and then the Cyclone, laugh in the dark. I was scared to death of that as a kid. I'd shut my eyes because I didn't want the guys to know I wouldn't go with them through that. Scared to death. But I found out that it really didn't hurt me. It was good. But it's wonderful to be back here, and I'm glad you're here. I got my beautiful wife with me, and I'm thrilled March can be here. 2 weeks ago, my son preached here, and I got another son that runs the camp called Circle C Ranch, so we're grateful. But as a boy, I also, in my day, had this book laughed at because of some scriptures that were there. Now, let me say this real quickly. Nearly one-third of this book called the Bible is prophecy fulfilled. Almost one-third. And up to this moment, hundreds of prophecies have happened, and every one has been fulfilled exactly what it was supposed to be. Not one wrong. Psychics are 95% wrong, and that's a proven fact. So this Bible is a phenomenal book. Now, when I was a boy, and I might add, I thank the Lord for sun because I left my glasses in the car. Don't laugh. You'll get old too someday. But let me read these to you. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and also that are therein shall be burned up. Looking for and hastening unto the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. They laughed at that. It was a joke. They said, it's impossible. It can't happen. That was back in the 40s. All that changed. On August 6, 1945, when the bombardier on the B-29, Tom Furby, sighted Hiroshima's Aoi Bridge, he knew the moment had arrived. Squeezing the trigger on his Norden bombsight, he became the first man in history to drop a nuclear weapon upon a populated city. It was attached to a parachute so it could blow up in the air. Tail gunner Bob Caron, after being temporarily blinded, described what he saw on the ground below. It's like bubbling molasses down there. The mushroom is spreading out. Fires are springing up everywhere. It's like a peep into hell. The people of Hiroshima, within a half a mile of the explosion, were instantly killed. Over 80,000 were a bundle of char in a fraction of a cent. 70,000 buildings were obliterated. And today, they tell us we have nuclear weaponry 30,000 times more powerful than that. One bomb over New York will destroy 10 millions of people at least. Ladies and gentlemen, God wrote it down. That's the way he's going to end this civilization. He made it very clear. This is what's going to happen. I had a buddy that went into Hiroshima right after the fallout had taken place. And he said, Wes, before I'd go through a nuclear war, I'd put a gun in my mouth and blow my brains out. He said, I don't know if it was a man or a woman. It was still walking. The skin had melted off its body. The eyes had melted and its whole tongue melted in his mouth and fell over. 2,300 years ago, God says, Zechariah, write, the judgment of the Lord, man, stand and melt. His skin will melt off his bone. His eyes will melt in his whole tongue. How did Zechariah know? He didn't. But here's something I want you to realize. Between those two verses, now you people know that this is possible. Einstein, the great Jewish scientist, said before he died, you detonate too many nuclear weapons, the very air we breathe could become liquid fire. But between those two verses, listen to this. It says this. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holiness and godly conversation? The greatest need today, godly men and women. Listen to this. A godly man, a godly woman is under the complete authority of Almighty God, has a divine love for Jesus, loves the Bible, loves prayer, loves the brethren, loves souls. Godly men and women are desperately needed today. The problem is nobody seems to want to pay the price. How do you become a godly person? Well, the first thing you have to do is be a Christian. Now, let me just take a moment for this, because maybe some of you sitting here, you're not absolutely sure. Heaven's your home. God said to Paul, write it. Paul wrote, and he says to the Corinthians, make sure you're in the faith. He said to Peter, write it. Peter wrote to those who were brethren, make your calling and election sure. Why? Because Jesus, in seventh chapter of Matthew, verse 21, 22, and 23, Jesus said, in that day, the majority of people that come before me are going to say, Lord, there's a mistake. That's at the great white throne judgment. That's the last judgment in the Bible. Everybody there is going to be separated from God forever. And they're going to say, Lord, I preach the truth of the word. That's called prophesy in thy name. That's exactly what the Greek means. I cast out demons in your name. You can't do it without the name of Jesus and the blood that was shed. And I did wonderful works in your name. And Jesus said, now notice, we say, people, do you know Jesus? That's not the question. The question, does he know you? Jesus said, then will I say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Didn't know you once, know you now. No, I never knew you. So the judgment is falling. the horror of the end. Now, the Bible makes it clear how to be a Christian, how to make sure you're a Christian. Here it is, real fast. Number one, you have to admit to God you're a sinner. God said from the sole of your foot to the head, there's nothing in you but wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores that have not been bound up or mollified with ointment. God says you're a stench in my nostrils. But my good will outweigh my bad. God said all your goodness are as filthy rags in my sight. Not by works of righteousness which you do, but according to my mercy, I'll save you by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. And God said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. God said, if you don't believe the record I've given to my Son, you're calling me a liar. God, I wouldn't call you a liar. What's your record? And this is the record. God said, I've given you eternal life. This life is in my Son. Not a preacher, priest, rabbi, church, in my Son. God says, he or she that hath my Son hath life. He or she that hath not my Son hath not life. Jesus said, I want to walk into your life. But we preach this to our teenagers. We let these kids know this. Jesus said, I tell you no. Except ye repent, you're going to perish. What does repentance mean? 11th chapter of Luke, Jesus said to the Pharisees, the men of Nineveh, in that last day will judge you because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Go back to 3:8, Jonah 3:8. What did they do? The king said, turn from your wickedness, turn from the evil in your hand and call unto God. Jesus said, you got to renounce the way of life you had, turn your back on the sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and you've got to invite me in. And as many as receive Jesus, to them he gives power to become children of God. At 17 years of age, it happened in my life. I've never gotten over it. If it's not happening in your life, you need to invite Christ into your life. You need to do it. Now, we're going to do something that's very unusual for just a moment. I'm going to ask everyone here, if you will, bow your head for me. I'm going to pray, all right? We'll bow our heads, close our eyes. Now, if you're sitting here and you say, I'm not absolutely certain that I'm going to be in heaven, I would like maybe to make sure of this. All right, I'm going to invite you to pray a little prayer after me. Not out loud. This is between you and God. God knows your thoughts. You can't think without using words. So you pray this little prayer in your if you really mean it, pray this little prayer after me. Not out loud, silently. Dear God, the Bible says I'm a sinner. I believe it. The Bible says I can't save myself. I believe it. The Bible says Jesus died for my sins, that he has eternal life to give me. I believe it. Dear God, I am sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. I don't want them anymore. Wash me clean in the blood of Jesus. Dear Jesus, I invite you into my life right now. I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. You have eternal life. I want it now. Thank you. Father, I don't know if anybody prayed that, but if they did, blessed Holy Spirit, you will do the work of regeneration or assurance, whichever is needed for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, you're a Christian. You want to be the next move as a godly person. Psalm 27:4. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at his temple. David said, one thing have I desired. Not two things, not three things, one thing. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 2:2, I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. A desire that's a good desire is wonderful, but if you don't do anything about it, it's useless. But David didn't stop there. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. There's the secret. Psalm 34:10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You go to Colossians 3. You've been risen with Christ. Seek those. Now notice, things, plural. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. What's he talking about? He's not talking about the angels. He's not talking about the saints. What's he talking about? Gabriel, speaking to Mary in Luke chapter 1, gives us the answer. Gabriel says to Mary, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. It's Jesus, but then it's plural. Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father, God the Father, God the Son. Seek them. Now, you don't seek the Holy Spirit. He lives here. The moment you're saved, you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're not of his. The moment you're saved, your body becomes a temple of God, the Holy Spirit. But seek those things which are above. The Bible says that the things are God the Father and God the Son. Psalmist said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. What? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, in that Old Testament, the house of the Lord was a big place, but the secret place was the Holy of Holies. And the priest would go in once a year. He'd walk into that Holy of Holies. He had bells around the bottom so he could hear him. He had a rope tied to his leg. Because if a sacrifice was not taken, God would kill him. Well, they couldn't go in and get him. They'd have to drag him out. Nobody could go into the Holy of Holies without dying. And they would listen. And sure enough, they'd hear the bells, yeah, our sacrifice is being taken once a year. Then Jesus died. And he took my sins and your sins in his body. The moment he did, the God of heaven poured out his wrath on that central cross. Jesus screamed in pain, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. He died and the veil was rent from top to bottom. Now God says, come on. The Holy of Holies is open for every Christian. Here's the tragedy. The far, and I mean far greater majority of Christians live in the outer court all the days of your life. That's the tragedy of it. Why? Because there's a veil between you and the Holy of Holies. Oh, no, God didn't put it there. You did. I did. It's called the self-life, and it blocks it off. I graduated with one of the degrees I have from university. I came home and I led music for Youth for Christ. I had the choir, I had the orchestra. Music's my thing. I have a degree in it. And I did all this stuff. I played piano for quartets and all the rest. And I read my Bible. I prayed. But something was missing in my life. Came from a godly home, but something was missing. I didn't know what it was. I came home after that year, I finished my degree in music. I came home for the summer. I was going to Maranatha Bible Conference to play the piano there. And I read this tract. I said, this man has the answer. I'd heard of him, but I didn't know him. I said, how do I get to him? The next day, Delta Lake Bible Conference, the brochure came in. There he was, the head man, Dr. A.W. Tozer. He was the main speaker. I said, Mom, Dad, I got to go. I had a 41 Pontiac, and you know how long ago it was? Gas was 12 cents a gallon. It's a long time ago. I slept in my car, and I used their facilities. But here's the thing. The pastors would swarm around Dr. Tozer. That night, he stood by a post all by himself. God kept everyone else away. I walked up to him, and I shook his hand. He was a small man, but hand as big as mine. He was a farm boy. I said, Dr. Tozer, my name is Wes Harriman. I poured my heart out to him. I said, can you help me? He looked at me. Are you willing to die, son? He said, what you're talking about, son, is not redirecting your life. It's ending it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ lives his life through me. In this life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, that man going up the Roman road carrying his cross was not having his life redirected, son. He was having it ended. He wasn't coming back. He says, it's going to cost you that if you want this, what you're talking about. I said, how do I do it? He says, you get alone in a room. Position of your body is not important. You can stand, kneel, sit, lay, have your Bible, pencil, or pen and paper, and then pray this prayer. Father, turn the searchlight of the Holy Spirit on this life and show me what's in here that you do not want. Within 60 seconds, son, he'll bring something across. Now, what you're going to have to do is decide. Are you going to try to excuse it, or are you going to admit it, repent of it, and allow him to put it under the blood? Because if you're going to try to excuse it, get out of the room, nothing's going to happen. He says, once you make that determination, you say, I confess it, I repent of it, I don't want it. What else, Lord? He said, the Lord will keep things coming. And he said, all of a sudden, Wes, there's going to be a stillness. What else, Lord? Something comes to mind. Oh, I got to make restitution. That's what the paper's for. You write down what you have to make right before God. But he said, then you keep on. All of a sudden, there's no more. He says, a peace of God will pass over your heart. It's all confessed. Now he said you take your body. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, you don't give your life to the Lord. Life and death are the hands of God. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies. He says you take your body from the top of your head, the bottom of your feet, your hands, your ears, your mouth, the whole body. Then your will, your ambitions, your desires, your motives, you take it all. Piece by piece, you're going to lay it on that cross for God to nail. Now he said, I'll warn you. You can ignore self, but the moment you try to dethrone it, it will fight you with everything it has to stay on that throne. He says, you take that self off and you put it on that cross and say, God, nail Wes Harriman. If you mean it, he said, he'll nail it. This is what he was talking about. Then he said, when you have that taken care of, The Holy Spirit who indwells every Christian will move into every part of that body. That's the biblical filling of the Holy Spirit. Now he said, remember this, son. A man hanging on a physical cross cannot look back. The cross is behind him. He's facing one direction where the cross is faced. He has no future plans of his own. He's crucified. He says, this is what it means in the spiritual realm. Putting your hand to the plow, you never look back. You're faced in one direction, heavenward. You have no future plans of your own. Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, when you do this, two things are going to take place. First, that veil between you and the Holy of Holies is going to be ripped aside. Second, you're going to be infused with a love for Jesus that's divine. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. That's not your fruit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The holy fruit, Spirit, is love. Love for whom? John 17:26. Jesus said, Father, the love wherewith you love me, that's divine. Might be in them. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll give you a love for Christ that is beyond anything you can even imagine. You don't work it up. This is sent down, as it were. You have a love affair with Jesus. When you have a love affair with him, you have a love affair with your Bible, with prayer, with the brethren, it's precious people who need Jesus. Love affair. Psalmist said, one thing have I desired, Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the Holy of Holies, to behold the beauty of the Lord, a love affair with Jesus. Bill Stewart was his name, a godly man. He would quote scripture by the chapter. And I was at his home one time, and he had lunch. We had lunch together, and he said, I'm going to lay down for a little bit, Wes. I said, oh, you always lay down for you after you have lunch. He said, oh, no. He said, I go in. I lay on my bed. I look toward heaven for a half an hour or so. I just lay and love Jesus. He said, have you ever done it? I said, no. He said, try it. Take a handkerchief. Tears will come. Love Jesus. I said to Dr. Tozer one day later, he, as some of you will know, he moved to Toronto, and I was the head of Youth for Christ in Toronto, and I mentioned the fact of what an impact he had on my life. That changed my entire life. And he said, let's get together. And he later became like a dad to me. Prayed for me every day. Said, I love you like my own son. That man of God, I said, how do you worship? Please hear this. He said, I'm human, Wes. I put a body on God. I know he doesn't have one, but I put a body. I'm in the Holy of Holies. He said, I look and there sits the majestic God of the universe who spoke. The worlds were formed by the breath of his nostrils. The heavens were created. There sits Jehovah God on the throne, and above him, the seraphims with their six wings, two covering their face, two their feet, flying. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. He said, I look to my left, God's right. There sits my beautiful Savior Jesus. Next to me is the Holy Spirit. He's my prayer partner. Prays with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the next verse says, and he always prays in the will of God. He said, I come and approach that throne. I kneel, and then I prostrate myself on the floor. And I worship. I adore him. I let him know how much he means to me and how grateful I am for my salvation. Now, I never saw this, but one of his associates told me, he said, Wes, this door of his office was open. I went to shut it, and there Dr. Tozer lay on the floor. He said, I listened. He was crying. With tears, he was saying, oh, Jesus, you're so beautiful. Oh, I love you so much. He said, I never touched that door. Dee Dee was in that room. This is what is desperately needed, a love affair with Jesus. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to hate your stinking flesh, and you will. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, behold the beauty of the Lord. And then what? To inquire in his temple, the ministry of prayer. Now listen carefully. There is a way of praying. First thing you need to realize is when you pray, you need to pray in the first person singular pronoun. It's not we, Lord. No, it's me, Lord. Go to Psalm 51, verse 16 verses. 35 times David prayed in the first person singular pronoun. Lord, I need this. It's me. It's Wes coming before you. It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, O Lord. Second thing, you make sure that everything is right between you and him. Nothing in between. Third, you make sure that you are going to be praying with the right motives. James says you have not because you ask amiss to consume it on your own lust. Make sure you're praying right. Then fourth, pray right. And I learned this from my mother. She was a great prayer warrior. She had answers to prayer like I've never seen. I'm serious. My mother had a relationship with Jesus. It was so special. He'd done a miracle for her when she was a little girl. And she had such a relationship. And I said to her one day, I said, Mom, you don't ever get a no. She says, never. Now we say, Lord answers yes, no, and wait a while. She says, you don't have to get a no, son. It's biblical. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us, and we know we have the petition. What do we pray? Lord, if it be thy will. That's the lazy way. My mother never prayed that way. I'd see her in a rocker. She'd be searching the scriptures to find the will of God for that prayer request. When that came, the peace of God that passeth understanding, let her know, I want you to pray for this. Then you believe God. He's the God of the impossible. With man, that's impossible, not with God. And then, not only believe him, you are persistent. Remember the judge, the unjust judge? In the vernacular, that woman will drive me nuts if I don't give her what she wants. I'm going to go crazy. I'll give her what she wants. Jesus said, how much more your Heavenly Father wants to literally answer your prayers. And then, when God answers the prayers, it's no longer faith. It's fact. And I watched my mother in the ministry of prayer and how she went after the things of God, spent hours in prayer. He that goeth forth, the psalmist said, I want to dwell in that house of the Lord forever. Prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. I said to Bill Stewart one day, I said, Bill, how do you do that? He said, Wes, it's like breathing. The moment your mind goes into neutral, you're automatically talking to him. He says it becomes such a glorious habit. It becomes so fantastic. You're automatically doing it. He that goeth forth. Now for us, here's the joy. As Christians who want God to control them, then we can pray, we can quote this scripture. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed, but weeping. That's the joy of the soul winner. He that goeth forth with that heart that has the tears. Why do we cry? 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Why do we go forth? The love of Christ constrains me because I love affair with Jesus. Why do we go forth? Because of 2 Corinthians 5:20. We now then are ambassadors for Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you this question. Do you have a desire to be a godly person? It will cost you. It will cost you. Guaranteed. I had the privilege of, I wrestled with this for 6 months. And finally, after 6 months, God brought a crisis in my life. And the Lord and I went at it. Could have done it in 3 hours. It took me 6 days. Because I didn't want to be a preacher. I'm a musician. I fought God to be a preacher. Finally, I realized I wasn't going to make it. And it was like the Lord said, if I can't have you for what I want you, you might as well come home. You have no value. I'll never forget that day. I laid on the floor. I was so weak I couldn't get up. And I just sobbed. And all of a sudden, I said, I'll preach. At that moment, I fell in love with Jesus. My arms went out, imaginary. I was hugging his ankles. How long I laid there, I don't know, but oh, loved him. Many years later, I'm in a crusade in Ohio. It was a hard crusade. Won't go into details, but the devil was fighting like mad. So I've spent a lot of time in prayer and fasting in prayer. And I remember I was there praying like mad. And the Lord brought back to mind what I had done when I was 24 years of age. And I said, Lord, I meant that. I know, oh, you fail, just like Neil said. Yeah, you fail, but you immediately get back up. And God, I'm sorry, you get right back in a position. The Holy of Holies, you don't want to miss that. And then he brought to mind, he said, you've got three more in your family. Well, I said, Marge and I discussed this before we were married. We're going to belong to him, to you, Lord. Yeah. And when, before the boys were born, we gave them to you. God made it very clear. I want you to give them to me now. I'll never forget it. The three most precious people in my life, in my mind, I had to build three caskets. Laid these three precious people in there. And lowered the lid. I thought he might take them. He didn't. He says, you've got to be in that position, son, if I'm going to be your authority and you're going to have a love affair with me and be that godly person. Let me ask you, do you have a desire to be that? If you do, I didn't put it there. God did. If you have that desire, I've got material here. I'd like to have you come get afterwards. It's in an orange baby, just the way Dr. Tozer gave it to me. And then the prayer ministry that you have, the seven things, which ends up with giving God all the glory for what's been accomplished. Your life can be dramatically changed. I'll tell you what'll happen. Yes, you'll fall in love with Jesus. You bet you will. All of a sudden, you're going to hate your stinking flesh. You really do. You hate it. You say it's fighting against the spiritual things. I detest it. It's things on the cross. Paul said, I die daily. It's a daily battle. But you are fulfilling the purpose for which God brought you into this world and saved you. He has a plan. He cannot utilize that plan unless he's in charge. People quote that scripture, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. That's the secret, them who have that love that God the Holy Spirit puts in your life because you belong to him. Other than that, you can't quote that. You're making the decisions. He's not. But when you come to that place, you say, I want that. God says, I will meet you, and you will be able to fulfill the purpose I have. I ask you to consider it this morning. I couldn't sleep last night, and I went over this, I bet, for 2.5 hours. And I said, Lord, I got to be where you want me to be. I got to be in that place. I don't want to be off that stinking cross. I want to bear about my body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be revealed in this mortal flesh. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Oh, dear God, I don't want to waste a moment of my life. You're not here by accident. And God didn't lay this on my heart, but I had planned something else completely. God says, no, I got people that need to hear this. My life was transformed by the ministry of Dr. Tozer. I can't thank God enough for that man. And I learned what was missing in my life. It's called crucifixion. Daily, every morning you wake up, dear God, Wes Arum goes on that cross. Nail that boy. Don't let him off of it. I put my flesh under, Paul said. Keep it down. God can nail it. Have that desire? If you do, take one of these orange papers. Take it home. Read it. Go over it. See what happens. And if you happen to be one of those who prayed that prayer, make sure you're a Christian. I have blue booklets up here. Take one. It's called This New Life. We've given them out with the thousands. Take one. It explains it in the last chapter. It tells you how to have devotion so you can grow in the Lord. I can't thank God enough I'm a Christian. He created this world. One of these days, the trump of God's going to sound. The dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And as the songwriter said, what a day that's going to be when my Jesus I shall see. I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Take me by the hand, lead me to the promised land. Oh, glorious day. What a day. We see him face to face, and then we stand before the judgment seat of Christ as Christians. He looks at our record, As my dad said to me, that godly witness, he was a mailman, witnessed everybody in his room. My dad led more souls to Christ. He was amazing. Gave over 250,000 gospel tracts away in his lifetime. My dad said to me one day, I said, you talked to everybody about Jesus, Daddy. He said, son, one day I got to face Jesus. When he looks at my record, I want him to look up. And my dad had tears in his eyes. He said, I want to see that smile. As he says, Aide, well done, you good and faithful servant. He said, that'll be heaven for your dad. Ladies and gentlemen, what is your life? Who's in charge? If you're running it, you have my sympathy. If he's running it, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray the Holy Spirit will have done his work in the life of all of us, that we that are Christians will have a hunger for Jesus, a hunger to live in the Holy of Holies, where we can worship you, be still and know that you're God. Then I pray that you will. Any who prayed that prayer, Holy Spirit, you'll do the work of regeneration or assurance, whichever is needed, that they'll be what you want them to be. I commit them to you. I commit this service to you. And thank you for who you are and what you've done for me. And I trust for all these people. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.